You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Marty Paget, executive editor of thecarconnection.com. He's also the executive editor of High Gear Media. We want to get his thoughts today as GM and Chrysler make their latest reports to the federal government. One of the conditions, of course, as a result of the bailout money they received late last year. And Marty, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks. I'm happy to join you on this momentous day in the industry.
What exactly are we expecting in these reports from GM and Chrysler?
I think we're expecting a placeholder for both of them. The placeholder at GM will probably involve shutting down half of its brands, and the placeholder at Chrysler will probably be outlining two different visions of the future. One is pretty heavily tied to Fiat. The other is a lot more nebulous and just relies on other alliances to help them patch the holes in their product lineup.
Which one has a tougher case to make to Congress and to the new Obama administration?
Wow, it's hard to say. GM will outline a plan to shut down these brands and put most of its effort behind Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac. The problem is they need billions and billions of dollars just to get to that point where they can shut down their other brands. The Chrysler problem is they're basically depending on the kindness of strangers to help them make it through this time. They're also asking for government money to bail out their business while they're also accepting basically an injection of Italian expertise. And we're just not sure how that's all going to play out.
How exactly have they spent the billions of dollars they were given back in December?
Keeping the lights on. Or not even keeping the lights on in some cases. There was a story this morning that Chrysler's had to cut so far back that they've dropped the clocks off of the walls in the office buildings because it saves $20,000 in batteries. They're trying to pay the salaries of the people who build and design their cars and probably nothing else. I can tell you from a media perspective, that there's been not a lot of product information. I just came from the Chrysler stand at the Chicago Auto Show last week and really not a whole lot going on there. They're really paring back.
How does that then help their case that they still have a hope to be viable? How are they trying to show that in addition to obviously cutting as much as they can to meet the bottom line?
Well, the interesting part of all these viability plans is the automakers have to make a reasonable case that car sales in the U.S. are going to stabilize. And when I met with GM last month and talked to Rick Wagoner, he said that basically the company could be profitable at 12 million sales of light vehicles in the U.S. each year. Last month, we were at 9.8 million. Clearly, they're going to have to pick a point and try to be profitable at that point, and it could be higher or lower than what's selling right now. Really, they have to gamble that there's going to be some meaningful economic turnaround this fall.
Why do they see their future in Fiat, or at least a large part of it?
They see their future in Fiat because no one else was willing to take an equity position in them. This is Chrysler that we're talking about.
Right.
It's hard to convince any other automaker to invest billions into Chrysler when companies have tried and failed. Nobody has billions to invest right now. You'll see the difficulty that GM's having in selling Hummer and in shopping Saab and Ford also in shopping Volvo around.
Is GM in a much stronger position or just a little bit ahead of Chrysler right now?
The strength of GM's position is its place in the history of the country. Really, they need a lot of money, a lot more than Chrysler. There's a lot more potential on the other side, I think, because they have brands that are selling much better than Chrysler's brands right now. It's just a bigger company to start with. So, when it comes down to preserving jobs, you have to look at GM as the issue that has to be addressed. If there's no solution for GM, there's certainly no solution for Chrysler.
What is the impression right now of the industry leaders towards the new administration? We saw kind of a change of position in President Bush in the final weeks. In the beginning, he was not in favor of the kind of aid that he ended up authorizing, even though Congress did not. So what kind of response are they expecting from the new team in Washington?
Honestly, I think the fact that they're considering Chapter 11 bankruptcy now is the indication of what they're getting from Washington. I think the Obama administration realizes that it owes a massive debt to the unions to getting elected. However, I think they realize their political capital may have been completely burned up with this $787 billion bailout. People don't want to sign on for more debt, and everything we do for the car companies is on top of the $2 trillion that we've already authorized. I really think that the auto companies have misplayed their hand a little bit. I think politically it would have been better for them had they filed bankruptcies before the current administration was inaugurated. because now it almost looks as if they were willing to take the money and then they'll file bankruptcy. Had they done it before, I think they would have had a cleaner slate politically. They could have gone in and said, well, you know, we filed Chapter 11. This is the only way to restructure our business, and we really have done that without having to have a capital injection from the American taxpayer. Now it's not the double whammy against them.
Marty, about 60 seconds or maybe a little more than that left in our conversation here. You mentioned before a couple times in passing the situation with the United Auto Workers. Democrats reluctant to really press them because they've been great political allies. But what are the realities right now? What kind of concessions are the industry leaders asking of the UAW, and what, if anything, are they willing to concede?
I think the big request now is to make even more pay cuts for the folks who were hired before 3 years ago. You know, there are different pay rates for older automotive workers versus the new hires in the past couple of years. That's a huge sticking point. And basically, to their credit, you know, the UAW doesn't want their workers to have to gamble their future pension and health benefits on GM and Chrysler stock. Nobody's taking stock these days, so why should we expect them to do the same? You know, the problem is the only alternative to those concessions is bankruptcy, where everybody's going to get wiped out. So either you take a gamble that you can be a part of a turnaround, or you pretty much hand over those pension liabilities, and you're not going to have those benefits anyway.
And real quick, Marty, before we let you go, what's D-Day here? When do these two companies need additional money before they do have to enter into Chapter 11?
Today is the day where they have to show the plans. In 6 weeks, on March 31st, either they have to demonstrate or the government has to say that those plans are viable and they're willing to inject more money, or they call those loans due. And when the loans are due, neither company can afford to repay them.
So we'll keep an eye on that as the weeks unfold here. Marty, thank you so much, as always, for your time.
Thank you.
Marty Padgett is executive editor of thecarconnection.com and High Gear Media. This is Dateline Washington.